Call the March 3rd Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Expected.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Also expected.
Well, it's only 6:29.
No.
You're early, yes.
It is?
Oh, yeah, it's 6:29, but the old watch.
Mm-hmm. Now it's 6:30.
Still open. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, just for the record, I was looking at the clock on the wall, which was probably purchased in 1969 on a little bit, so, you know, what are you going to get? Okay, item 8, we do have a properly noticed meeting. We do have a quorum. I just saw Alderwoman Mayer in the hall, so we're official. Item B, citizens' comment period. Is any citizen wishing to speak on any item? Anyone wishing to speak? Mr. McKnight, name and address, please.
Dennis McKnight, 9321 Spring Hill Lane. I am president of the library board and also president of the library foundation. Normally, I don't go out of that bailiwick when I come here, but I'm going to make an exception tonight. I see on your agenda one of the first items is an appointment to the Economic Development Commission, Matt Haas. Matt is a gentleman here. Matt, for the last couple of years, has served on our library foundation. He's also a manager of Johnson Bank. I believe that he is very competent financially based on the fact that he's treasurer of the foundation. He has a good handle. Probably more importantly, I think he thinks like me. He's in it.
Sorry, Matt. See ya.
Wait a minute. He's not in it for the political bent. He is in it to make Franklin a better place. So I think he deserves your approval. I would urge you to appoint Matt tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKnight. Anyone else? Anyone else wishing to speak on any matter? All right, seeing none, I will close the citizen comment period. We'll move on to item, there are no hearings. We'll move on to approval of the minutes. Item C, February 17th in your packet. Any additions or corrections?
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Again, no hearings. We move to item E, appointment of Matthew Haas to the Economic Development Commission, 2-year term.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Matt, you missed your first meeting last night. Sorry. Thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Alderwoman Wilhelm is the aldermanic representative. Feel free to reach out to her. Craig Haskins, who is the chair, reach out to him. Reach out to me. Reach out to whoever you'd like. Okay, item F, letters of petitions. We have none. Item G, G1, authorization for the police department to apply for seatbelt enforcement grant.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Excuse me, Alderman Wilhelm.
Is this related to G2?
No.
Are there two different ones? Okay, thank you.
Let's do it again. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Good job, Chief. Item G2, a state grant for incident-based reporting implementation. Chief Oliva in his new uniform.
Yes. The Wisconsin Department of Justice issued us or will issue us a grant if you approve it, $15,443 to implement the Wisconsin-based incident reporting system, which is basically a comprehensive way of collecting statistics. It goes well beyond the what we do now, the Uniform Crime Statistics, UCRs. The FBI every year collects our statistics for the major crime categories that you usually see in our annual report. This is the data collection. It goes much, much farther. It includes a lot more crime categories. It also includes collecting and reporting on weapons, on suspects, time of day, all sorts of information that can be used to analyze crime trends in the city and help us direct our resources in a more efficient and effective way. I believe that the intent is eventually for every department in the state to have to go to the WIBERS system. So this is a good opportunity for us to get on board early and have the state pick up the costs for implementing it.
Question. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
When you do this more robust system, there's supposed to be like a six-step process to get certified for that, or is that something that
That's part of what the money's going to be used for, is to be able to implement it and go through the process, certification process, and the training. That's all part of this.
All right, great, thanks.
Alderwoman Evans.
Do you know what the timetable is for it to be required from the state?
No, I don't have that. There's been no date set, but the state has been pushing departments to go to this. And again, we were fortunate to be one of the very few departments in the state to get the grant.
Well, I appreciate you going after all these grants. Thank you.
Welcome.
Motion on this matter.
I move to authorize the police department to accept a grant of $15,443 from the state of Wisconsin Department of Justice for the purpose of implementing an incident-based reporting system.
Second.
Discussion? Already had it? Seeing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Good job. Item G3, all accessible, all-inclusive public playground and park. Got it right this time. Nature Center, approximately 11120 West Loomis Road. An update of the development plan and status and development costs. Mr. City Engineer and Ms. Runty, you want to join them? Come on up. You all know Shelley Runty?
Yes.
Glenn's got a power. Mr. City Engineer.
All right. As you know about the project, Kayla's crew, this is Shelley Runty. We had a meeting last Friday to kind of get our hands around the entire project and figure out exactly if we could define it and make sure we know where we're going with this. So this is kind of an update for the council. So I apologize, there wasn't a whole lot of information in your packet, but this is where we are right now. If you recall, this is a project we talked about last fall. And if you have any questions, obviously this is the playground obviously there's accessible swing set, some other amenities. Anything special you want to say? Is there any changes? You started buying equipment.
We purchased two of the slides that are coming from Germany, as well as the Liberty Swing, the accessible swing in the middle from Australia. So they're on their way. Arriving in the next few weeks, hopefully. So those are some, moving forward. And just another, Play by Design had asked us that we move the proposed fence edge 20 feet and the pavilion to be moved, and I shared that with all of you. So that's not really any new news. But we're just moving forward with giving feedback and finding the final layout, or actually the canvas that they can work with. So that's next on our scope.
We actually looked at two designs that we thought would be feasible. I'm going to show you first the preferred design. Preferred design, we have Loomis Road out here. The church building is planned to be right there. We're looking at moving the entrance down across from there's a median cut off of Loomis. And the idea is you'd come in and notice there's a property line right there with the MMSD property. Come in, and we'd treat this like our road, treat it with its own right-of-way. There's the Kayla's Crew site, very similar to what you saw on the last slide. They'd have some parking. adjacent to the playground. And the idea is that this area would actually be encompassed in some sort of a CSM, the property, and we would actually join that to the MMSD property. The advantages of this situation, it's easier city maintenance. Some of the other situations we were looking at would require us plow snow and repave and what was essentially the church parking lot. So that was, we thought this was a better situation. So it's not integral to the church site. The church can still do their own thing and really be off of our roadway. We would align with the Loomis median cut, and what that means is you would see less U-turns out there. So people trying to get to the site could come in from either direction. And conversely, leaving the site wouldn't have to make a U-turn. We think that we can make a more attractive entrance out here by Loomis Road. It has traffic queuing capabilities, so if there's a lot of traffic trying to get out, we can actually stack it into the drive as opposed to basically a parking lot, which is the other option. And less variance is needed. That's pretty important. We talked to Joel and his staff and about all the variances. There are variances needed for both issues, but this definitely requires less variances. Disadvantage, this is more expensive than the other costs we were looking at. There is impact to natural resources. There's some wetlands that we'd have to cross. We tried to do it at the smallest location, but we would have to cross them. And land acquisition permission from MSD. Notice again that we are actually on their property. We plan to get the property from MSD, but we have to go through DNR and get verification that we can actually put that much of a drive on their site that they've donated. Here's a look at the alternative design. Again, this is from last Friday. The advantage, it is less expensive, and there's less impact to natural resources. We're not crossing through any wetlands. And we do save approximately 2 weeks in the schedule if we were to do this because of some of the procedures internal that we'd have to go through. Some of the disadvantages, as I mentioned, U-turns in Loomis, I think that's a big deal there. Conflict with the church parking traffic. As shown, we basically have parking spaces within our right-of-way. Again, more variances. And then more variance is needed with the MMSD property. So trying to combine that with property, and Joel can talk more about it if you have any questions on that. So. This is probably the slide you're most interested in, is the estimated cost associated with the preferred design. So, and these are very, very rough costs. We have not done a detailed design. These are some rough numbers. So $360,000 for the preferred option, the roadway, the parking that you see. The thought was in both alternatives as we worked through the solutions is that we would split 50% with the Victory of the Lamb that we would cost share. But this option was more expensive, and to be honest, the Victory of the Lamb, they were prepared to show their site plan, actually the previous site plan, had it much like the other site plans, unpreferred options. So the thought was is that because that's a premium, the city would pick up that premium. It's really for our benefit more than the church's benefit. The water frontage off Loomis, we think that would cost $180,000. We would split that 50-50, and that could be an option if this were to turn into a TID, that maybe the TID could maybe pay for that, but as of right now, there is no TID. The utility work, just to get the services back to the site itself, that would be split that 50% for each of us because we'd both benefit, 10,000 apiece. Parking, that would be wholly on the Kayla's Crew site, so we would pay 100% of that, 120,000. Site grading, there is some grading that would require to actually make the playground smooth and the parking lot where it needs to be. That's about $60,000. Additional engineering, mitigation, CSM, lumping all those together, we were estimating about $35,000, and we need to get started there pretty close. But the total project cost is $775,000. Under this scenario, $575,000 would be borne by the city, and $200,000 donation, or if you will, assessment of by Victory of the Lamb. City budget status, and Mark can help me with this if you have questions, but again, the 775 that you saw from the other slide. Pavilion, we have $100,000 there. It's important to note that Port Washington has a similar facility that we first decided that we'd really like to have. I found out what they spent for theirs, and I escalated from their time that they built it to now. It's about $350,000, which seems like a lot. Today, we looked back in our records and saw what we spent for our park pavilion out there off Drexel. We spent about $350,000 7 years ago. So $100,000 is indeed a very bare-bones structure. We haven't done any design on it yet, so that's probably subject to rise if we want to add any sort of fancy to it at all. The playground, I think those are pretty hard numbers, $385. And she, like she said, she's already started ordering equipment. So that brings us to about $1.2 million for the amount needed. Look at the funding. Actually, let's go to budget appropriations. Let's do the funding sources. Kayla's crew fundraising. Shelly's already raised about $200,000. Hopefully she can raise more, but assuming no more, that's what she's raised so far. The assessment from Victory of the Land, that's $200,000. And if you will, the city share is $860,000 of that. So the park itself is $600,000. This is what you've appropriated previously in your budget. $600,000 for the Kayla's crew all-inclusive park is the way it's listed. There's another line item, park development, for $500,000. And so that means we need a budget modification of $160,000. Again, that gets us to our $1.2 million. So city funding sources, how can we do that? So impact fee budgeted for Kayla's crew project, $500,000. Again, that was appropriation. Impact fees from park development project, $190,000. And the fund balance for the park, we're going to have to do a fund balance for the park development project of $170,000. That gets us to our $860,000. It's important to note, I have there, y'all didn't show up very well on this, but I'll read it. Use of fee impact fees may require modification to the CORP and an updated impact fee analysis. And the combined requires transfer of land assets to park system of approximately $919,000. And it may be substituted for by impact fees with the additional transfer of land assets to the park system. $440,000. Just to kind of give you an idea, we do have that capability. MMSD shared a map with us of properties that they own in Franklin that they would like to donate to us, and so we can use that as part of our match. I've listed the parcels, and they didn't quite line up with what our assessor said, so these are subject to change a little bit, but best we can understand, there's 11 properties. And roughly $2.5 million is the value of those properties. So we have more than enough properties that we could apply towards this. And we could also reallocate some of the projects that are in the budget for this year. So park projects for the 2015 budget. You already have approved the Kayla's crew of $600,000. The North Cape Trail, that's $754,000. Not yet approved is the general park development of $500,000, Pleasant View Pavilion of $232,800, and then some acquisition of three mini park sites of $135,500, and the Lions Legend Park equipment of $37,500. So there are some options if you want to move some projects back in time. We anticipate that we'll get this done in 2015. We are moving, so the anticipation in 2 weeks, March 17, we'll have a memorandum of understanding for you between you and the church to define how this goes, and probably some of that may hinge on some conversation this evening. March 25th, we would have an Environmental Commission hearing for the NRSRE issues. April 1st, Victory of the Lamb plans to start land disturbance. We'll have to do some things to allow them to get started early, but we can definitely turn them loose and let them start on their foundation. Start disturbing the land. April 9, Plan Commission for a whole variety of issues that you see listed there. April 15, Board of Zoning Appeals variance. April 21st, we'd like to have the sign finalized and the cost estimate finalized. So at April 21st, we would come to Calvin Council get your approval. Then in May, we would solicit and award the bids for the city construction. In June, we would start the city construction. So that gives us June, July, and August to do the construction. So in September, when everybody's coming to town, we can be all ready for it. What would this MOU look like? And again, open to suggestions, but what we talked about last Friday is that the city would coordinate with MMSD, DNR, and DOT. We would pay for the design of the improvements. So basically, their engineer has done a lot of work already, and we would actually pay them to actually do the design under their contract. We would pay to have the CSM, pay to have the lot split apart. We would actually construct the improvements. Anything that we do, we need to do prevailing wages and those sorts of things for public bidding. We would allow free earthwork in the parcels, so the church has some need to do some things for their drainage. So they would basically spill over onto our lot line, and we think we can work with that. And then proceed with the backup plan if that's the only option. If DNR denies our request, we can proceed with the backup plan. Victor the Lamb would agree to donate the land and do the design for the improvements. They would prepare the CSM that we are paying for, and then contribute $200,000 lump sum. And actually, that's more of an assessment. And we could stretch that out over time if we treat it like other assessments. So with that, are there any questions?
Back up to the preferred plan map. I wish I had some. You'll note on the right side of the... Don't turn around. The thing that I like most about this plan is it divides the property. That's the city. Okay? Gives us dedicated parking that obviously will be available to Victory Land. But it also gives us a room for buses to turn around. And I keep telling everybody that I think this is going to be much more popular than people think it is. So we're going to need this space in here and dedicated parking here. So this plan, to me, is an excellent idea. And I think that's the nature. It was a great meeting on Friday, I thought. Just one other thing. I'm going to prepare on behalf of the Common Council under my signature a letter of support for Shelley for the project, saying that it has the unanimous support of the council. I don't think anyone will object to me doing that. So that's what's coming. Questions? Oliver Schmidt.
Given the overall cost of this, it does seem to be a very well-designed park. Was there any consideration or analysis done of other potential locations for Kayla's park at all, or is this always just the emphasis they have it? I'll do it with Victory and William.
Good question. We sat down at numerous meetings with the last mayor, Tom Taylor, and we had looked at other parks within the city. There's many of them that are county owned as well. That adds another layer of complexity. We looked at the Drexel Lions Legend area. Where the volleyball court was, but that's a floodplain. So it was really tricky to find an open enough area to actually put a playground of our size. And we did. We investigated each and every one. We did the pros and cons, and we really outlined it. As a board, we looked at it very critically, and we just couldn't find anything. At that time, we were working it with Mike Zimmerman for The Rock as well. And then we met Pastor Ben, Victor of the Lamb, at a national night out. And short story, he was looking to build a church, and we were looking to build a playground, and it seemed like a good fit. So
it was a good marriage.
Right. And I like the fact that it's not a standalone park, for the mere fact that, that you have families that can travel there. Our mission is to teach life lessons and across the board for young and old. And I think it'll benefit families on a whole, and it's not a standalone where, you know, it can be vandalized or graffiti or anything like that. So it's nice that it's as one whole park, and plus the 43 acres of MMSD land is a really big benefit as well.
Alderman Evans.
Can we move back to the slide with the other projects that might be delayed or move forward?
Back.
How long of a delay do you think some of these might be?
I didn't say that they'd be delayed. I said that those are options. You know, and as we showed, there are ways to fund it with land donation. But if you wanted to do it within the budget, you could maybe move one back a year or so.
Marshall LeBurton's got an answer.
Yeah, given the use of impact fees, if you have the land offset to use that as cash, there really wouldn't be any need to impact any of the other budgeted projects. It would require a budget modification, which requires a two-thirds approval, but there would be funding available, so no park project. It just uses the entire general park development, which is an unspecified amount. It uses that entire appropriation that we set in the budget just for this sort of purpose.
Thank you.
Alderman Dandrea, then Alderwoman Mayer.
Glenn, we're making assumptions that the MMSD is going to donate that land.
Yes, they will.
They will. Okay. And so are they going to have a problem with putting a road, that slight road, onto that land?
Actually, that's not really MMSD's issue, because when the land was given to MMSD from DNR, Fish and Wildlife, they had certain restrictions. So there's some issues that I know Jesse's dealing with a gentleman from DNR to get approval to do some of these things.
Yes, sir, City Attorney.
With regard to all of the potential roads, parking lot, new option that came up last Friday for an entry conversing with the median on Loomis. All of those have been requested for review of MMSD. MMSD said, here's the individual at DNR, communications verbal and in writing, as well as maps, et cetera, and what this is, you know, all-inclusive playground and park, nature conservation area, et cetera, has all been provided. This morning, one more time, since this came up Friday afternoon, the request went for this new entry onto Loomis to MMSD. This morning, MMSD responded, please talk to the same individual at DNR. And sometime this afternoon, got an email back from the individual saying that the individual is going to discuss the same with the program manager. So that's where that's all at. Okay. And Mike, just in short here, there's a lot of use of the words MOU and donations and church, and I brought this up a couple of times. Here's the simple concept. Yes, the church owns the property right now. There's a property. The concept is the property gets divided, and without cost, because that, I understand, was part of the original plan, church would, this is the only donation involved outside of contributions to Kayla's crew as a not-for-profit. The church would donate the property to the city. It will be public land. The project, including the park and playground, and the road, public road to the park and playground, which would also serve the property, would be public construction. With regard to the costs, these are very rough. And once the costs are further estimated, the project would go out to public bid. And then just as if it were a sewer project, a water project, when the bids are received from the city, engineering staff would then calculate what would be the reasonable special assessment to the church property for access with regard to the public street, as well as public water, et cetera, et cetera. And since the church would be specially benefited, as in the ordinary course of governmental business in Wisconsin with special assessments, that amount would be assessed. That is very roughly calculated here, but it's not a donation to and from or anything. It's separate, and it's done in the ordinary course. So it would be public park, public playground property, separate from the church property.
Okay. Mr. Dandrius, though, is Alderman Dandrius.
Do we have sewer that leads up Loomis to this point?
City attorney.
Sewer's not there yet. Part of the costs involved here, though, do involve public water. In the works also is the mixed-use area tax incremental district. Part of the cost workup, at least to this point, which is not complete yet, is public water. I believe public water would come from the north of what's currently the church property to travel further south past Ryan Road to serve the rest of the tax incremental district area, so that would be TID eligible in terms of a project cost. So theoretically, if that were approved, and if it were approved in time, that would subtract whatever the number is here, I think $180,000 for that water. With regard to sewer, one of the original concepts in the workup was also to provide public sewer for that property, but that would be part of a tax incremental district creation. If the tax incremental district is not created, the thought is that public sewer would be cost prohibitive to bring from approximately Ryan Road and Loomis up to what's now the church property. And so it would likely be in the cost workup through current, because this is separate, might be together with tax increment district, but proceeding separately would either be a holding tank or a mount system.
Okay, thank you.
Alderwoman Mayer, and then Alderwoman Willow.
A question regarding the properties that are going to be donated from MMSD. With this property and the property next door, the Butterfly property, that's a catalyst that led to the possible collection of all those properties. That amount, can that be spread across, or is that plan to be spread across other park projects, one of them being, for instance, Lake Ernie, which is one of the projects that we talked about with the budget.
Do you want to handle that?
If I think I understand the question, if the city has the asset donated to it and then converts that asset to a park asset, past instruction from the attorney group to Cal Patterson, our previous finance director, indicated that whole amount is able to be used in that same manner. So provided this project doesn't use up the full total, which it doesn't appear to, you would be able to have a similar capability in other park projects.
To use it as matching funds for other?
Yes. You only get a portion of it. That's how it works. You get about 39% of it. You have to use more land donation than you actually get to convert to cash. I will note very briefly that the way Jesse describes the financing could change the manner in which it was showed in the state on the slides. The payment from, or not payment from the church, the church's involvement becomes a special assessment. But the $500,000 park development project that I already has has another $140,000 of city money available in there, and there's extra land value that could be converted. So although the numbers would change, the same methodologies could work, and the finances, the way we have it, would still be allowed to make the project viable with the numbers the way Jesse sort of provided.
City,
and just so it's clear, part and parcel of why this subject matter is here is because of the church project proceeding and needing to know potential financial impacts, private sector. And when I say special assessments, part and parcel of that is there would be an agreement ultimately, which would provide, here is the amount of the special assessment. The proposal is that it be paid upfront in a lump sum, and that the property owner would waive notice of hearing, et cetera, et cetera. So it would be done all up front. And the amounts aren't going to be reduced or anything to, quote, buy that. It's going to be done properly, but the actual amount of money would be paid up front.
And you all saw the schedule. It's going to move pretty quickly. Alderman Will, are you finished?
Can we go back to the full anticipated cost slide?
Bless you, whoever that old pastor is. I take it back. You don't need me.
This one?
I think the one right before that one. That one. So we're talking about $1,260,000?
Yes.
And that's with or without the special assessment for the water or sewer coming down? I didn't quite understand that.
It's total cost.
Total cost before special assessments.
Before special assessments. So there would be an additional cost that the church would pay that special assessment?
That's this number right here. Oh, Suzanne, watch it. It's that number right there.
Okay. So that's not, so basically that's their part of the water and sewer, but as far as the road that would have been their drive-in, we're basically taking that over.
Glenn, can you go to the map, please? Prefer to. It's thought that the CSM would do something like that. And so that this, the road, is the road.
Mm-hmm.
Their driveway is their driveway.
Okay.
I said that right?
And if there's, for some reason, MMSD doesn't allow that, or the DNR, I guess it's the DNR, because that's who really has to prove it. They have to prove that, and they have to prove the wetland impact. If for some reason those are held up or something, does that slow up the church? Do we change designs, or what happens then?
The church is the actual footprint of the buildings in the same location. What we do is we would change to something more like that. That would be the backup plan.
Okay.
But that's,
and how does that then change the finances for the church then going to the bank?
They might, I would assume the church would be getting a line of credit when they start construction, so that means when all is said and done, they would need less money for their total
okay.
project.
Well, I love the project. I'm just really kind of shocked by the 3 times the amount on the cost. We went from a $400,000 park to over $1 million. Probably it's going to be $1.5 million by the time we're done. Could almost build a community center for that.
No.
Well, I'm just saying, if you match that, $1.5 million, that's $3 million. That's a pretty good chunk of money. But, I know Alderman Schmidt said we have places with bathrooms and parking lots. That's most of the cost, right?
Big chunk of it, yes. And again, $100,000 we have for a pavilion, but that's a very, it's not a lot more than really an umbrella, really.
We can't put this where we have a bathroom and a parking lot, so we save those costs for the city. It's the project's great, and it's great for the whole city. I just have to think about our budget as well for one project if we have a bathroom and a parking lot on another site.
And I mean, I can speak for myself. We haven't fully investigated, you know, other options, but we could, if you'd like us to.
Is there something we could kind of do concurrently, just in, as another backup in case MMSD or the DNR should not want to approve that? just kind of keep it, can you look at that for us and at least...
Sure.
Because I really think we kind of owe that to the community, too, to not just say, well, we just want to make this happen so bad that we're willing to dump everything we've got into it and when we could do it.
Sure.
Maybe
I mean, if that's the council's desire, we could definitely make the manpower to look at some options.
I mean, it's certainly not my desire to put any wrinkles in it or anything, but wow, if we could just say, oh, well, it fit right here perfect, we could do it tomorrow. It seems like it would save Shelley's crew a lot of worrying about what's going to happen in Victory Creek or Victory of the Lamb could move forward. I don't know. I just don't want to seal off everything at this point. I'm just shocked by the cost. I'm surprised no one else is surprised on the cost here for a park. I don't know.
I know Kenosha Dream Playground is very building an all-accessible, all-inclusive playground with the same designers that we have, mm-hmm. and the cost is just right at that level as well. And they're working with the city of Kenosha.
Because they're probably putting in a bathroom and a parking lot as well. I'm just saying we have really new... At this point, I'm always thinking, even with the extra traffic at Pleasantville, might be cheaper to just... We're already building a pavilion there, and we already have a parking lot, and we'd be cheaper to put the road in for $1.5 million. We could have the extra road plus that.
We did look at Pleasant View back when we first began, and it was the timeline with it was out 7 years, and you know that's why it was too far out. That was the reason for the Pleasant View.
Well, now it's there, and now you're here. And so
yeah, that's my path.
I guess I just think we owe it to it just to keep something else, because we have no guarantee that the MMSD is going to approve that road. We have no guarantee that DNR will approve, because you have to do this no practical alternative analysis, which is why Victory of the Creek or Victory of the Lamb put their road where they did when they first brought it in. Is because they have to say the DNR, there's the options, and if you come in and you've got, right here you have an alternative design, and if you go to the DNR and you say, well, we have a preferred alternative, and then we have an alternative, and they're like, well, your alternate design has no impact, so that's the one you're going to have to build. Is that, and as the mayor said, and everybody said, it's not their preferred design. So then you have to try to sell them on why the preferred design. I just don't want to see the church held up, and I don't want to see us dump an exorbitant amount of money if we could just place it behind City Hall. But, you know, that's all. So I would like a concurrent or engineer to continue to think about that, and if something pops up and, you know, it could save us $1 million or maybe...
All I know is that Shelley's staring right at me. Thanks, Kristen.
Well, it's not that I'm not saying don't build a park. I'm saying we owe it to them, we owe it to the church, we owe it to the community to always keep an open mind. You don't have any guarantees. You just said these things might happen. So I don't understand why you would want to close your mind completely to... two options as it moves along, just in case something does fall through on it.
Who's got a closed mind? You were saying that generically, right?
Well, I guess I based that on the comments that, you know, someone's looking right at you and we should...
Oh, that's because she was.
Well, I realize that, and...
Well, let me answer your question, just because you asked. I have some alternates.
Okay.
The alternates would put the project out. But I have alternates. I've been operating under the direction of the Common Council to move forward. So that's what I've been doing. So.
And that was before we had these kind of figures in front of us.
That's how you get to these figures. That's correct.
Right. So you have to, yeah, I mean, you can't just say, okay, a council's, you know, just we're going to blindly move ahead regardless of the cost.
That's why we're here.
I understand that. And all I'm saying is go ahead but keep an open mind, and if the city engineer can at least have an alternative to think, why not? Why not? If we could save the city even $600,000, why not? Why wouldn't we? I guess is all
Ms.
I'm
Rose,
saying.
Here comes the answer.
Well, when we were initially looking at the rock, there was some amounts that came through and back, and it was $488,000 without a road in and without a play, without a pavilion. And that was a cost figure 2 years ago. So just some, you know, I'm just putting it out on the table, price comparison, price-wise. That amount scared us as well. So, you know, as we've grown and we've, you know, really learned a lot along the way, and, you know, with price comparisons and that kind of thing.
I guess I'm just saying, Shelley, if someone...
Kristen, let Shelley finish.
I just thought I'd share that amount as well.
Well, Shelley, if someone came to you and say, Shelley, tomorrow you can put that over behind City Hall and you won't have to hold up the church and you don't have all these DNR questions and it can all be matched with impact fees because all this MMST property that's being donated, would you say no?
Well, nobody has done that.
I know, but so that's what I'm saying. So if our
we
engineer,
want to build a playground.
if he came in here in 3 days and said, hey, we just found something that we think we can make work, would you say no?
Well, part of our loyalty is to Victory of the Lamb. We've told the community and all of our supporters since June that, you know, we've... Part of it's loyalty, you know.
I
and I get
that
things fall through and things happen, and I understand that. And that may happen, and that's something that we'll need to explain. But for right now, I mean, I'm open to looking for other options as a plan B.
And I'm not saying, Shelley, I'm not saying let's not keep working toward this goal. I'm just saying let's keep an open mind if something comes in that we could make it work and we could make it sooner and we could make it cheaper. Why not? And I understand your loyalty to the church, and they've been really great on working. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, but we have an entire community as well, and projects and funding, and I just hate to do this just because we want this so bad because of loyalty that we're going to end up with an inadequate turnaround for, like the mayor said, for buses just because we're just married to the site. You know, he says, you know, he thinks it's going to be very popular, which I think it will be as well. And if he's saying it's hard for buses to turn around in here, then we're going with a plan that's less than optimal just because we're loyal to the site. And I don't want to see the project cut short from what it could be. It's a very wonderful project, and we all want to make this project happen. And it will happen. So
I think the added value comes in with the extra 43 acres of land and potential use of that land.
Well, if I look at that list of MMSD properties, they're scattered throughout Franklin. One of them is actually over by Pleasantview. That St. Salva property is right next to where we put the trail in over there. So when we go to put up the pavilion, we should be able to hopefully do an additional match there. But if we use all of our impact fees on one project, I don't know where that leads us in the future on the rest of this city issue. So just I guess I'd like to ask my colleagues, is there any objection to having an open mind and let the city engineer just keep an open mind and an open ear? Is there any objection to that?
Appropriate way is to make a motion.
I don't know if we need a motion. He's just willing to have an open mind and just
Mr.
work
Liberta.
That, and I don't see why it...
Currently, the staff is moving forward under directions the Commerce Council has given it to move forward. In accordance with the timeline you saw on this proposal, it really doesn't give staff any time to stop, evaluate to any level of detail alternate proposals. So staff is happy to do that. We work for you and at your direction, but it would really take some time to do that, and it would forestall this, because any effort we put into looking at it other ones keeps us from being able to have an MOU by the 17th to be prepared for the Environmental Commission and all those details. So my concern would be, although we're happy to do it, recognize that may push your timeline.
Well, I think you're speculating on the fact that it would be a really cumbersome project to do. I mean, something could fall in his lap and it would be right there. So to say it would take away from that and you couldn't handle it, you're making a speculation based on something you don't really know. I mean, it may not even take any time. It may be just the fact of he looks at a map and goes, wow, I never realized this. And how long does that take? 30 seconds? I mean, I wouldn't just discount the fact that we should have an open mind just because of a speculation that something might take longer than you would think. This might take longer than you would think.
Alderwoman, let me try to move this along.
The DNR process might take longer. I think they may be held up on that and then wish they would have looked for another option. So
let me try to move this along. Nobody has closed mind on this. As I mentioned, I have an alternate. My alternate would be probably not as expensive, but it would take longer. And I can't discuss it in public because it involves private land. So, I wasn't on the council at the time, but I'm told we did look at the Legend Park spot. Can we take a quick look at Pleasant View? Sure, and probably should. So we'll keep an open mind and see if there's an alternate.
Maybe we'll get that land developed at the same time.
Alderwoman, are you okay? You done? Finished? Excuse me. Done is impolite. Alderwoman Mayer, and then Alderman Dandrea.
I guess my question is, if we do something like that, is this where you can have two trains going down the same time? So you're going to be able to keep on track with this and be kind of looking out for any options that would...
I believe we can. I mean, we'll go into a lot of detail on alternate sites unless we find one that really looks like it's going to work. So I think we can. I think we can put together something in next week or so by our next meeting.
Okay, and I guess my other question is to Shelley then, is that something that you wouldn't mind happening?
My concern is fundraising. We, as Kayla's crew, have put it on the side because of the fact that we didn't have a contract that says we are going here. And I didn't think it was fair to go to a business or corporation in Greenville or Franklin and ask them to donate a large amount not having the land. So the more that we wait or the longer it takes to get that information, we're getting closer and closer to that build date of this September.
Well, and that's why to staff, that's why I'm asking. Parallel trains heading towards the same goal. Okay.
Anyone
or
else?
Do we even need to worry about fundraising?
Anyone else on this? Alderman, I'm sorry. Alderman Dandrea, I did recognize you.
Hey, if you were to consider Pleasant View, is there road access appropriate for the amount of traffic that would be going through this area?
I think I'd probably want to look and make sure we get a bus turnaround. From memory, that might be our only issue, but we could do that, yeah.
And you made a reference to if we were to switch, we don't know what the financial impact may be on Victory of the Lamb and if their project would get off on the right foot. Correct. There's nobody from Victory the Lamb here.
Well,
we don't
the pastor's
know.
Here. But
well, the pastor's here. And if this doesn't go through, is it going to possibly affect the construction process of Victory the Land?
Well, that...
we don't know that. So we don't need them to answer, but I'm just raising that question as well out there. It could. I know the building doesn't, but we don't know what the financial commitment is and the commitment from the financing agent is. So I'm just raising those questions because there's something here. So.
Alderwoman Evans, I assume you're
done. Yes, I'm done.
When this first came to us, we discussed alternative sites, and this is what we decided on. And I guess this is part of the rushing things along process. This is what happens when you have second thoughts now. But I have a question for you, Shelley. Are you going to continue your fundraising efforts as the building goes on for the project, and then even after it's completed? When will you stop that fundraising?
Well, the fundraising is for the sole component of the playground, sponsorship for the equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we set our fundraising goal at for the playground. That's Kayla's crew. We're building a playground. So.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll try hard, in 6 short months. To really get some corporations out there to, dedicate some money as much as we can to match what we've already raised. But again, we need the land.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I don't think if we're going on the parallel path and we're just keeping an open mind that has to change what you're saying as far as a commitment. I mean, the city, we've said we're committed to the project. And whether it would happen here or Lions Legend or whatever, we're committed to the project. I think, but as a community-wide issue, I just don't want to jam something in there with an inadequate road just because we have to, if we can have an alternative. And I don't want you to go away feeling like, oh, that we're backing out or anything, but I just... City engineer, he says he can do parallel. He can keep his own mind, and if you run into issues with the DNR MMSD, you've got a backup. And you should have that because you don't know what's going to happen with the road issue. I think you'd be cutting yourself short if you didn't do that. And what if they say no? What if the DNR says no, this is the access, this is the way you have to do it?
Then we do that.
And now we are settling for less, just so you know. If that's the design, we'll be having cars mixed in with a drive. It's not the worst thing, but it is not the preferred alternative. So just so everybody is fine with that. And at a cost that would be a lot less if we had it where there was a bathroom facility or a parking lot and a road that's already there. Those are all costs that wouldn't have to be part of the project. So it'll be a very high cost for a not quite alternative that's, those are the payoffs, I guess. So I don't know. I guess I don't really have anything else as long as
the only thing I'll point out to everyone is this parking lot design, which is, in our terms, the alternate, this parking lot design is different than the one originally planned and put forward several months ago when the council endorsed the project. That had a center driveway parking on both sides coming up to the playground. So this one is a better design than what was originally presented to us. So it's a good alternative. We like the other one better. Just so everybody knows. So anyway, okay. All right. Staff and I will move forward, and probably next meeting we'll have another update.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you, Shelley, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay. Item G4, allowance from Matt Talbot Recovery Services to extend water main along St. Martin's Road with a 90-degree bend south of 92nd Street and pass the driveway to terminate water main at possible future lot line. Mr. City Engineer. You want your pointer back?
Sure. This is a project where a developer is looking to develop on the corner of St. Martin's and 92nd Street, and they're looking to basically build in, if you will, the triangular part of the parcel.
I take it the applicant is here.
The applicant is here. I'll let them describe the project and introduce themselves.
We're going to need your name and address, please.
Nathan Lord Keller, West 196, South 8310, Providence Way, Muskegon, Wisconsin.
I'm sorry, tell me your name again.
Nathan.
Lisa Wood, Davis and Kilthow, 111 East Kilburn Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
So the project is a five-bed CBRF. Located on a small portion of this large parcel. We'll be coming in front of Planning Commission on March 19th for further details on the project.
The issue before you tonight involves the water line. The water line currently comes to, I believe it's Elm Court. It extends past Elm Court, and there's a location where the water line stops at the edge of the development. To serve this property, they are extending the property, extending the water line past another three properties. They're proposing to cross the road and come down 92nd Street.
Bless you.
We have a policy that we've enforced for many, many years where we require the water line to be extended past the property to the other property line. And that way, so when the next guy comes along, he just has to doesn't have to dig across your property to get to the water line. So, but in this situation, since they are actually having to go get the water line, if you will, and we are actually asking them to upsize the water line from 8 to a 16-inch water main, the applicant asked if they could be omitted from having to extend to the edge of the property line. This issue was taken to the Board of Water Commissioners because they have the authority to do that, and they looked at all the issues. They had a long discussion. And they are recommending to the council that you approve their petition to into the water line. And we picked a spot where if this parcel were to be subdivided, that seems to be a logical property line.
So the question at hand is only do we permit the applicant to not extend the water to the full extent of the parcel? That's the only question.
That is correct.
Question.
What's the zoning?
R3. Thank you.
R3. And if I could just clarify.
Absolutely.
Right now, you don't have an ordinance that requires the water line to go all the way to the end of the property. It has just been, I guess, you said policy, just something traditionally that has been done, but there is no ordinance that requires it.
That's what I was going to ask a question about. So it's just policy. So how will this impact the next applicant that comes along asking for such a request?
I think that's why the Board of Water Commissioners wanted to throw it to you, because it is truly unusual, unique, and there are several reasons I listed in your packet as to why it makes sense to allow this to happen in this circumstance. My personal opinion, the largest reason is because they have to go get it, past several properties to get the water main. We do anticipate that someday that would be subdivided, and at that time that would be extended. Another major reason is the area along Ryan Road with the sewer. We expect development to happen someday, and this allows us to get the water line a little bit closer. If this project were not to happen and we decided we need water down for Ryan Road, that would make us have to go further to capture the water. The reason why they need the water main is for the sprinkler system.
Thank you. Alderman Mayer.
I'm wondering why it wasn't chosen to just go down Highway 100, St. Martin's Road.
That was discussed. I think that would be an option also, but again, pros and cons discussed at the meeting. I think we like 92nd just as well as Highway 100. And that gives them a service off the main road as opposed to getting a service across St. Martin's.
Just a quick one and then another one. Is Briarwood, this subdivision, served by water?
No, sir.
Alderman, was that what you were going
to? Yes, sir. So are we going to require that the residents have to hook up to water now that it comes down that way?
I don't believe that's our policy. I mean, if they choose to, then we can assess them for it, and they can pay for the hook-on fee, but no.
Is that, we're pretty sure about that? We're not going to have, find out later on that they have to hook up, they're going to be special assessed for it coming down the road? Do we have answers to that?
I believe for sanitary sewer you require hookups, but not water lines.
Not water.
Okay. So we won't have any surprises for these people in this district that we're unaware of. We flush that out for tonight before we vote.
We flushed that out. It's an interesting choice of words. Mm-hmm. Our policy is not to assess for water, not to force people to take water. So I don't know. This is a proposal for one person.
If I could also just add, this parcel is zoned residential. There, at this point, there's no other use for it. Anyone who would purchase the property to construct a home would never be able to afford to bring water to it. The cost to extend all the way to the property line is $235,000. There's to anyone that's going to bring water to that property for a residential home. The cost is prohibitive. So the fact that we are developing a CBRF, which requires a sprinkler system, is the only reason that we are looking to bring water to it. So we see it as a benefit to the city that we are bringing the water as far as we are where no one else would. The total cost, including the city's contribution to increase the size of the water main, is about $342,000. So it's a huge cost. If we go to the preferred connection point, which is where the property could be potentially subdivided, the total cost, including city's portion, is about $178,000, only about $109,000 to the property owner. That's feasible. It's something we could do. If in the future the property is subdivided, we'd have to come back here to get approval of that subdivision. At that point, you could require, obviously, that it go to the property line.
Alderman Mayer.
How far in the approval process is the CBRF that you're planning?
It's been applied to, staff comments been returned to us. We're revising those for final submittal next week, Monday. And it'll be on the agenda for Planning Commission on the 19th of March.
And I remind the council, one is not tied to the other, although one does impact the other. Alderman Mayer.
And just for clarification, the project does not come before the Common Council. It's decided at the Planning Commission meeting.
Could you repeat that?
The project would not come before the Common Council for approval. It's what do they call it? Site specific or
site plan?
It's an approved use on the lot, so Common Council is not involved in that.
Let's see, Jerry.
I just had a couple of questions for the applicant. I inquired of staff whether they had any materials that further described the community living arrangement, CBRF licensing, and any detail on there, and staff said they didn't really have any materials on that. Is this particular, the residence plan for this establishment? Are we into the Federal Fair Housing Act and Americans with Disability Act, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes. It will be housing individuals with disabilities.
Okay.
So those will come into play.
And number two, within the action sheet workup for tonight's meeting in the Common Council agenda packet, spoke in terms of a requirement that if the council approves this, in effect, the condition is that any future extension of that water would require the property owner to pay the equivalent special assessment for that. And I also read about land divisions, and I read somewhere that there might be some, because of environmental resources on the property, it's difficult to build on, et cetera, et cetera. So here's my hypothetical. You do a land division, and it's one large wetland, and then sewer gets extended, and the property's not specially benefited thereby, et cetera, which is all hypothetical because I have no clue what the rest of the property is. So my simple thought was, were the Common Council and the Plan Commission to approve this, at least as a condition on the site plan, perhaps one of those one-page contracts that says something along the lines of, as a condition of this approval, long-standing practice per engineering department is that extensions of public water go to the property line. That did not occur here. In exchange for, if in the future water does get extended, the existing property shall be responsible for, regardless of any division, shall be responsible for the special assessment.
And we have agreed to that.
Okay.
We agree not to object to any special assessment, which would be proposed to extend the water from the point of connection that we are requesting to the end of the property line.
Right, but it would be covered by the property as it exists now, which would include, if it all is approved and constructed, the CBRF property, was my thought, to avoid that hypothetical.
I mean, if the CBRF was never developed? I mean, right now,
no.
We'll go to the point beyond the
CBRF. CBRF's developed. If there's some future land division, it's all totally hypothetical. I have no facts. But if it, all it said was the future parcel that would be divided off shall be responsible for the special assessment, what if it's all wetland? And then there will be no special benefit, so there would be no special assessment, and so the city has to pay for it.
There is a buildable area on what could be the second parcel.
But could it just be written so that parcel as is right now, which ultimately, if my hypothetical came true, that the CBRF remaining property from the land division would be responsible to cover that?
If assessed.
Okay.
Would that language apply to just the land division, though? Would we tackle that at the point of the CSM? Because the UDO would apply then, and we would have to extend that water main if we were to want to subdivide this property.
The issue is that the council's deciding to vary from past practice at this point in time. So it's in exchange to support that particular decision. And for the record, this is a very unique parcel. And also for the record, what makes this unique from the majority of other parcels, even if they were of the same shape, Wisconsin statutes, section 6223 sub 7 sub I, community and other living arrangements, very briefly citing subsection 2, community living arrangements shall be permitted in each city, et cetera, et cetera. Subsection 3, in all cases where the community living arrangement has capacity for 8 or fewer persons being served by the program, that facility is entitled to locate in any residential zone. Attorney General's office is directed to take any necessary action for failure to comply with this particular section. And I don't have anything other than what you heard here this evening with regard to the applicability of the Americans with Disability Act, the Federal Fair Housing Act, but there is Wisconsin case law, including the Eastern District of Wisconsin, whereby those particular federal rules superseded to even make broader the application of permitting community living arrangements in municipalities in Wisconsin, and part of Federal Fair Housing Act, American with Disabilities Act, is that not only the private sector but public entities should make reasonable accommodations for such individuals as well as, well, such individuals and places that support and where they live for access, et cetera.
And as I said, it will be for individuals with disabilities. We have involved Attorney Rock Platel, who was involved in that fair housing litigation, to assist us with any issues that may arise.
So for whatever it's worth, I'd say that makes this particular property fairly distinct.
Alderman Willem.
Am I understanding there will be a CSM separating this?
No.
No, you won't?
Not at this time.
Okay. My only thought was in relationship to bringing this down. Are we going to do this property based on best available data, or are we actually going to know where the wetlands are so we know the building placement and that that water line is long enough to reach whatever needs to be on there, because the site is wet, so we know that. So I guess this is one of those cases where I'd rather not go with best available, and I would actually like to see an actual delineation on the property so we know all the setbacks. And maybe you've already addressed that or done that.
Yes, we have done all the delineations, environmental work for this property. We have completed all of the city requirements for natural resource protection plans, tree surveys. That has all been completed.
Okay.
Submitted to planning for preliminary review, and just their small comments and notes for planning commission. So we are dealing with a known entity on all the environmental issues.
Okay. Thank you.
Action regarding this matter? The recommendation is to approve.
Mayor?
Alderman
Wall. Well, without seeing the plan and knowing where the line is in placement with the building, can you help me understand how far it comes down in relation to where you want to place everything? Because that's kind of important.
Well, Jim, I'm going to stand here. If that helps, the building would be being placed this portion of the lot. There's a large wetland area that you can see here.
Right.
You can kind of be identified there. There's also wetlands and a lot of other portions of the property. So it's a fairly small building, less than 5,000 square feet. It's only about 16 parking stalls or so, if I remember correctly, on the lot. So it's not a huge development by any means.
Okay, thank you.
Action regarding this matter?
Sure, I'll make the motion to approve. Motion to allow Matt Talbot, Recovery Services, Inc., to extend the water main along St. Martin's Road, 90-degree bend to 92nd Street, and past driveway to terminate water main at a possible future lot line. Total extension, approximately 810 feet. Furthermore, the prospective property owner must agree to not oppose assessment and extensions of water main in the future.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderwoman Mayer?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge?
Aye.
Motion carries. Vote is 5-1-0. Motion is approved. Item G5, traffic impact analysis for State Highway 36 and South 76th Street interchanges and related budget appropriation. Very simply stated, where we're at now with Area A planning, as we discussed in closed session, requires this option to move forward.
Move to approve.
There's two motions here. Are you moving both? Or one?
I can do them one at a time.
So your motion is to adopt an ordinance to amend Ordinance 2014-2152, adopting 2015 annual budget for the general fund of the City of Franklin for fiscal year 2015, to amend a budget amendment to the 2015 budget. Is that your motion?
Yes.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there also a motion to instruct staff to contract with Grafe?
So move.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion of that motion?
I have a discussion.
Yes, Alderman Evans.
if in the letter we have in here from Grief, it says if this doesn't work out, we could possibly get our money, some of the money back. You know, before proceeding to the $50,000, we could only spend the $20,000 possibly if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I think that's a good option, and another reason we should move forward with that.
And as well, you see in the write-up, there's an indication that a developer is potentially interested in participating financially. Those conversations are ongoing, and if you look out in the audience, you'll see someone nod their head up and down. Okay. Thanks, Craig. Any other discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
I have one question.
Excuse me, Alderman Mayor.
For the $20,000, what exactly are we getting if we can all of a sudden go to the second step and that costs $50,000?
It's a stepped process whereby at some... Mike?
It's step with the data gathering to attract how it's information.
For the record, it's Mike Paul is from Grief.
At that point, you know, well, we're going to take the DLT that looks like more than the step two.
Which is what?
Step four, the dialysis.
Okay. Okay, so it's just the...
Where the data gathering step one, and then the dialysis and all the engineering, if you will.
So how do you tell at that point whether or not it's something you go forward with?
You'll have to the DLT, and you'll know.
Okay.
Not
dependent
on how the
counts
are
going to
be
at
the traffic counts.
Okay, and do we know when that traffic count starts and everything? Okay. All right, thank you.
On the motion, we have a motion to move forward with the traffic impact analysis. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. I will also point out that we'll potentially, should this all move forward, should the TIF district be put in place as a